He will magnify himself above every god. That's basically, you know, the arrogance of man. I guess you could actually use the phrase lovers of self. So, I mean, if you're magnifying yourself, who do you love? It's not God, it's yourself. He'll magnify himself above every god and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. There's the arrogance, right? Proud blasphemers. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished for which is decreed, which has to be done. And it must be done because God will fulfill what he says he's going to do. Well, Scripture's actually telling us that he's playing a necessary role and God is orchestrating it. That this evil influence is necessary to, one, test man's motives, test man's heart, just like, you know, that decision and that choice does. This evil force. And the question beckons this. What would happen if wrong became legal? That's an interesting question, isn't it? So what I'd like for you to do is I'd like you to think through that. And what I would also like you to do is take a moment and if you could, jettison yourself all the way back to Daniel's time. So can you just pretend like you're not living in this time? And can you pretend like none of the things that we know anything about exist, the world as we know it? And the only thing that exists, or the only things that exist, are the things that existed in the time of Daniel. Now let's think about laws changing. Let's think what would happen if not only you gave a ruler a sense of you can do anything you want to, but let's pretend like someday there will be whole nations of peoples that will be thinking this way. And they'll be hearing propaganda such as, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. They're hearing this information constantly. And they began to get certain freedoms. So in the civil world, there's going to someday be a government that is going to say to the people, if you don't like what authority is saying, you can get mad at them. In fact, you can speak against them. In fact, we encourage you to speak against them. We encourage you to tear them down. We encourage you to tear down the authority. We encourage you to write letters and to protest. We encourage you to do this. But if you think about it, if in fact that law is passed, that's against God's law. It's a total different way of thinking. If you've ever read Romans 13, it's pretty clear. All authority is ordained by God. Those who resist that authority have resisted God. But it's the way of the world. And what if this nation that is going to start rising up, we're to tell you in the realm of the moral world that it's actually legal to kill an unborn child. It's legal. I mean, what if doing wrong is actually legal? Would you do it? See? If the boundaries begin to get torn down, will you cave? Or will you, as Daniel did, set yourself apart and say, I'm not going to have a part of that. I will submit to the laws of God. How this world has infiltrated us and how we have, and I know I'm going to sound really radical here. I live in this world with you too, so I drive cars and do all those kind of things. But I'm just telling you how the world is changing and how we're changing nature. What if there was a law, Romans chapter 1 tells us, But there's a natural law that says that women should be with men and men with women. But what if there was a nation that says, we applaud you ignoring this natural law? Can you imagine? Would you acquiesce to it? Would you? I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just the way society is. But it's lawlessness. Even though it is in our laws, it is a spirit of lawlessness through our nation, because it's a rebellion against God's laws. What if in the future there were going to be a way in which you wouldn't have to deal with guilt anymore? You wouldn't have to deal with your regrets, and you wouldn't have to deal with your sin. Because if you got depressed, we could chemically treat that. And now you're free to live the way that you want to live, be who you want to be. Or what if it was, socially acceptable to live with people before you got married? So that you really don't have to, you know, make a commitment to anybody. It's interesting. Scripture really makes a clear, definite line between a person that is having a sexual relationship with somebody and somebody that is married. In fact, it tells us in Deuteronomy that if, in fact, there was somebody that had an immoral affair with somebody, if that person is not married, you must marry them. It'll use the word marry, and it will say you can never leave them. So it's actually telling us, now the world will tell you, it's basically the same thing. If you're living with somebody, you're married. Sort of. I guess you could choose if you want to file taxes together or not file. Okay. Because it really is more the issue. See? But the fact of the matter is that we're beginning to produce lawlessness. What is the lawlessness stating? You do whatever you feel like doing. You do whatever you want to do. Of course, 1 Corinthians 7 says, because of immorality, as I tell you, get married. See? Why is that? Because God actually believes that commitment should come before intimacy. Strange, isn't it? That God would think about things like that, or that would be important to him. There's going to come a nation that's going to tell you, or going to actually be able to work out for you through this mystery thing called science, a way in which you could have a child without ever being intimate or affectionate. And you could produce a child out of a test tube. Imagine. Define the laws of God. Man perceives this as a jump in his ability and a thing and a badge of success. But the fact of the matter is that he's eroding at something. And the thing that he's eroding is this thing called love. Because lawlessness is increased, love of many will grow cold. So if I ignore the laws of God in relationship, I just look at what I want, and I don't see children as anything but something that I go to a store and shop for. And that child doesn't need a mother and father that love each other and that love him necessarily. That's just something I want. I mean, it's no wonder that relationships are so skewed today, because people are, we live in a time in which people are beginning to do whatever they want. And what's giving them the power is not only what we would call our democracy, but what's given us our power is science, is technology. I mean, what's happening is that we're going places that the laws of nature says you shouldn't be there. But we say, that's just a law. And we go beyond those boundaries. And our thought is, we're actually progressing so that someday, you people living in Daniel's time, you're going to actually be able to talk to people without ever visiting them. Now, that's progress, isn't it? What are we seeing today in relationships? Nobody knows how to talk to each other. There aren't relationships. See? So that everything, someday, you're going to be able to go anywhere you want to go, anytime you want to go there. Now, that's success. That's progress. But you know what you just erased? This thing called community. It's gone. It no longer exists. We perceive everything we're doing, but we're changing all the laws to fit our world. If you can dream it, you can invent it. And if you can make it, you should go for it. Because it's all about what you want. And what's happening is we're destroying relationships. We wonder why in those final days, we wonder why people are going to be killing each other. But if you look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you all know the passage. Realize this. In the last days. So what are we talking about? Last days. Okay, we're talking about the last days. In the last days, difficult times will come. Why would those times be so difficult? Because people aren't going to be caring for anybody but them. Because they're going to be lovers of self. Well, wait a minute. That sounds just like the Antichrist. He will do as he pleases and exalt and magnify himself above every god. But isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that what this... You know, one of the problems with our democracy today is everybody's voting their pocketbook. I don't care which side of the fence you're on. Everybody's voting their pocketbook. Very few people are voting their morals. Less are voting in the spiritual realm. Man will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Boastful, arrogant, wait a minute. He will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. Revilers, disobedient to parents. There's a new commercial out in which the young people are coming to see Grandma and Grandpa. I don't know if you've seen it, but they're coming to see Grandma and Grandpa. Grandma and Grandpa are coming out the door, and they've got their laptop and their phone and everything, all the stuff, and they go, here, fix them. And then they walk away with from the grandkids. The point, of course, of the commercial is that the grandkids know more about the technology than the grandparents. And, of course, the grandparents basically fundamentally see the grandkids now as something to fix. But what's so twisted in this is, once again, our technology has allowed the children to be smarter than the parents so that the parents are perceived as idiots. And so why should they listen to them? It's why relationships between the parents and the children are being undermined through what we call progress. We're glad to know we're getting somewhere. Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Why are they ungrateful? I'm going to tell you why they're ungrateful. Because they can get anything they want. The thought is, you know, if I just give my kid everything he wants, he's going to be happy, he's going to be satisfied. He's going to love everybody. If you give the kid everything he wants, you've created a monster. They'll not only be brutal, but they'll hate you. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. It's an interesting thing as it describes this one that is going to come. He will not recognize any of the gods, any of the religion. Won't have any sense of decorum, any sense of... But that's what we're erasing. And you want to hear just how tricky it's infiltrating? It infiltrates through comedy. If the devil can get you laughing about it first, then before long, he can get you treating it as unholy. So if you can throw the church under the bus with a joke, if you can throw God under the bus with a joke, if you can undermine morals with a joke, then before long, it becomes acceptable because you kind of laugh your way into immorality or lack of spirituality. Ungrateful, unholy. Is it any surprise in verse 3 that it would then start off where? Unloving. Come on now, let's reconcile. I'm not going to reconcile. You know why you're not going to reconcile? Because you don't need anybody. You don't need anybody. There's a new and wonderful commercial out that is advertising a place for older people to go when they get that age. And I think it's defined as a place for mom. I always laugh every time I hear that. I go, well, honey, we finally found a place for you. But, you know, the parents don't need the kids don't need the parents, and everybody discards everybody else, and we're good with that. Malicious gossips. Do you think that could be the interweb? Do you think maybe that's a gossip place? And it's not just one or two people that gossip. That's everybody. It's on it. And you know, our world encourages you to do that. Never before, ever before, has our world ever been able to do that. But we can today. And you can speak against anything and everything except that which is truly evil. Malicious gossips without self-control. You know, one of the things I noticed with reality TV is that people have no shame. I mean, if they can make a buck, they'll do anything on TV for it. Without self-control, brutal, haters of what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. And of course, the end of verse 4 just nails it for all of us, doesn't it? Really, what do you love more than anything else? I mean, we're all Epicureans in this final day. Imagine living in Daniel's time and describing, using these words to describe a nation that will someday exist. Daniel's going, I can't believe that would ever happen. We are the frog boiling in the kettle and we don't recognize it happening? But we're a part of it. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, this particular text actually conjoins the Daniel passage with the Timothy passage. And as he begins to describe, and we've read this before, but I just want to read it in the context of what's actually happening. It says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the day is coming when the man of," and how does it describe him? "Lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." So in this text, the one that we oftentimes refer to as the Antichrist is actually defined in Scripture as the lawless one, right? And what will he do? Well, what lawless people do? What do they do? Verse 4, "He will oppose and exalt himself above every so-called god." I mean, you almost feel like you're reading out of Daniel. "Every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God and he will display himself as being God." Every time you and I make the decision that we want to make, we take that seat and we display ourselves as being God. Our thought is, it's a better way. But what we're creating is a destruction of love. Every time we turn from God and we don't do what he says, we chip away at relationships, we chip away at happiness, joy, and peace. I mean, it's no wonder that everybody's taking pills and is anxious, because nobody's doing what they're told to do, because their thought is God's, I mean, they believe the lie of the garden. God actually hates you and he's doing bad things for you by giving you these laws. When God told you not to touch that fruit, it just, he's just trying to, that's not true though, is it? "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you these things?" Verse 6, "And you know what restrains him now?" That's, by the way, that's a neutral pronoun in the sense that it's not really dealing with a person. I think sometimes people go, well, it's the Christians that restrain. Well, he's going to talk about them in just a minute. But what he's saying in this text is it's the law that restrains. Ultimately, God then will take out the Christians who are the lawful ones. And that's when, see, I mean, you and I, as believers, when we hear the acrimony about the politicians, we refuse to get in the conversation, don't we? Because we know that God has ordained that authority. And we believe that the thing that God has called us to do is to pray for that authority, not to undermine it. That doesn't mean that you can't disagree with the policies or the things that are being done. But we're not going to, as Peter will make mention of, as well as Jude, revile angelic majesties. It's just the arrogance. No, it doesn't matter if those angelic majesties are from the pit of hell, you don't revile them because they're more powerful than you are. What you do is you come to God and you put your trust in him and you submit to his authority. Let him take care of, we can put the bad guys. He says this in verse 7. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." What do you think he's talking about? Well, I personally believe it was the Greek society. Because everything at this juncture has already been Hellenized, i.e. become Greek. And in this world, they've introduced, you just let your imagination go wild, and you begin to try to think up new kinds of laws, new kinds of government, new kinds of ways of thinking. Now, look, some of them are very inventive, but the point of the matter is that you ought to be concentrating on what God is telling you to do instead of trying to invent a utopia, which it seems like the more we go towards that desire, the more destructive the world becomes. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he, actually could be a third person singular, could possibly even be a plural in that text, which could be the saints, until he is taken